right, folks. Welcome to the Steve Malzberg Show. I am very excited as we speak to you at this very moment. Lots of news to catch you up on, and we're going to do it with two spectacular guests. And what has me most excited is that even though Candy Crowley on CNN just said that even though the hearing has been delayed, it's expected that Eric Holder will eventually be confirmed as the Attorney General of the United States, I hold out hope. I hold out hope in the fact that today our good friend Andy McCarthy, who we're going to speak to tomorrow, put a piece out on National Review Online. And same day, the committee says we're gonna put his nomination, his hearings here on hold until next week, because in my mind it brings up the possibility of not only I'm talking about the P word, perjury. We'll explain that to you, and we'll talk right now to another one of my favorite people who has done so much for the good of this country and is continuing her efforts to do so. Deborah Burlingame is here. She is a co-founder of 9/11 Families for a Safe and Strong America. Lost her brother, of course, Charles F. Burlingame III, in the cockpit of Flight 77, American Airlines Flight 77 on 9/11. And Deborah, great to speak to you again. How are you?
Steve, so good to talk to you too.
You wrote a piece, a letter, to the Senate Judiciary Committee, the ranking member Arlen Specter and the chairman Patrick Leahy, expressing your displeasure with the nomination of Eric Holder to be Attorney General.
Yes, I wrote the letter. I felt compelled to write it because the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. He serves not the president but the American people. That's his franchise. And it's his job to enforce the laws of our country. And Eric Holder, affirmatively, aggressively, and most definitely, the record shows, was instrumental in the release of 16 FALN terrorists back in 1999. And this is the guy who will be pivotal, critical to the issue of what we do with the terrorists that are currently detained at Guantanamo Bay. It's a very difficult issue, and this guy is least suited to handle it.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, you mentioned the FALN pardons, which we've talked about extensively here. He actually sat there last week and defended the clemency offered, and that's the key word. You know, President Bush granted clemency, rather, to the two border agents. They had to go through the system. They asked for that clemency. These 16 terrorists from the Puerto Rican group, the FALN, never asked for it. They were sought out by Holder and Clinton and then granted this clemency. It was pushed upon them, and Holder defended that. It was just outrageous.
Well, the process that you're talking about, which has been in place for 150 years, prior to this, at the Justice Department, they have a pardon attorney, an office of pardon attorney, that answered. He answered to Eric Holder. In 1996, the pardon attorney Margaret Love dealt with this issue, even though it was irregular. They didn't apply for the pardon, and she ruled against it. Well, what did Holder do? He fired her. He brought in one of his underlings, Roger Adams, who also recommended against a clemency, and he said, "Do it over." And Adams actually went public just 2 weeks ago in the LA Times, saying that he was pressured into writing what has been called the options memo that Eric Holder ordered him to write.
That is an outrage, and as you point out in your letter to the chairman and the ranking member, there's also the Weather Underground terrorist. He commuted the sentences of the Weather Underground terrorist Susan Rosenberg and Linda Evans, who were implicated in the killing of two New York State troopers. It goes on and on and on with this guy. But I think that what we need to focus on, as Andrew did today in his piece, I didn't know who Mark Rich was, and I made a mistake. It appears that he might have got himself caught here in a little fibberoony.
Well, he said under oath back in 2001 when he was questioned about the Mark Rich pardon that he had never heard of this guy. The guy was an international fugitive. He pled guilty in 1983 to fraud, racketeering, tax evasion. He illegally traded with Khomeini when they were holding 52 American hostages during that period. I mean, this was not just a tax cheat. He was a bad guy, and he was trading with some of our other enemies, providing them, you know, giving them money. And federal marshals chased him all over Europe. What has now come about is, it turns out that Holder wasn't being truthful, at the very least, because he said he'd never heard of him when he was assisting Markowitz's attorney, Jack Quinn, and he hadn't heard of Markowitz, and he was unfamiliar with the case. And now documents have surfaced that show that when Holder was the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, in other words, he was the head of that office.
Right, 1995.
1995. In other words, he was like Rudy Giuliani, only in the District of Columbia.
Right, right.
He brought a case against Markowitz. And the complaint, someone went to the old archive building in Maryland and pulled out all the file, and there's the complaint, everything, all the papers are signed by Eric Holder outlaying all the predicate crimes that this guy has committed and why he should be held responsible. They ended up settling a civil case for a restitution of over $1 million. And there were all sorts of stipulations. I mean, Holder clearly knew not only who this guy was, but everything he had done that put him in hot water with the U.S. government.
No, absolutely. So here we have, on one hand, last week he said he was not aware of anything beyond the tax evasion fugitive status of Markowitz, and he apologized, and he made a mistake, and he pled ignorance, basically. And yet, in 1995, he filed this lawsuit against Markowitz and this company, because Rich had an associate, they did business with him, and they pulled the file and included everything, not just the tax evasion, but everything that Arlen Specter asked him about at the hearing the other day, when he said, "Were you familiar with?" and he said no. But in fact, in 1995, he was. So,
right.
I mean, how could that not be perjury?
Exactly. He perjured himself in 2001, and again last week. But you know, Andy McCarthy points out in his piece, you know, if you think about it, even pleading ignorance. Gee, when I was the guy who ran the day-to-day operation at Justice Department, I just didn't know enough about this case when I said that I was leaning towards a pardon and I pushed this. That's a pretty feeble excuse for a guy who's going to be the chief law enforcement officer who should be supporting the prosecution that his field case prosecutors made. But you know, Louis Free, who also testified in his behalf, basically said, well, you know, Eric is a good guy and he really didn't know enough, and he was abused by the Clinton administration. He was victimized by the Clinton administration. In other words, Clinton took advantage of Eric. And now it turns out that, no, they worked hand in hand to make this happen.
I'm telling you, this is going to get good. We're talking to Deborah Burlingame, co-founder of 9/11 Families for a Safe and Strong America, here on the Steve Malzberg Show. The fact that Barack Obama chose on his first full day, to issue a draft document calling for the 120-day suspension of these military tribunals, which were underway, which included one for the five brain trust people of the 9/11 attacks, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and also the draft calls for the prison at Gitmo to be closed within a year. The fact that he chose to follow through with this is project number one, basically, and that you're a family member of a victim of 9/11. How does this make you feel?
Well, you know, when I think of the attorneys that are pushing for this and the left, it infuriates me because closing Guantanamo doesn't solve any of the problems that they're alleging it has caused, and they know it. Because if you close Guantanamo, you still have the issue of what are you going to do with these guys. And even now, Barack Obama, now that he's been briefed by the President, the State Department, and everyone else as to who these guys really are and the evidence against them, some of the classified intelligence against them, he's now knowing that these are very dangerous people, so dangerous that our allies, who have been bitching, if I can say that on the radio, about Guantanamo, they don't want them either. No one wants to have these people on their soil, and we certainly don't want to bring them into communities in Kansas City or elsewhere we have military installations.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. These guys, for instance, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, for instance, he wants this trial to you. They want to plead guilty, and they want to be put to death to be martyrs. And I say, I'll pull the switch. I'll do it. I'll give the injection, whatever they want. Where's the interest on the part of Obama or anybody to say, oh, no, this isn't fair, when these guys want to plead guilty, they say they did it, and they want to be put to death?
Well, there's two issues here. You have to separate the issue of the so-called high-value detainees, Steve, because obviously, you know, they're proud of their crimes, and they'll say it from the mountaintops, and they will most definitely propagandize these trials, milk them for everything they're worth. I mean, Massoud was an example of that, and he pled guilty, but then they went into penalty phase, and he used that. He was very, actually pretty honest about it when he was asked, why are you making all these ridiculous inflammatory statements in court? And he said, I'm talking basically to my jihadi brothers.
Right.
The issue is really not so much KSM and those guys, because they're never going to be let go no matter what process they're put through. The issue is going forward. What do we do with the category of people that you can't really prosecute them because they were rounded up in jihadi training camps, but they hadn't committed any violent acts, you know, like Hamdan, you know, he got 6 months. He's at home now. And he was delivering RPG launchers and stuff for his boss, Osama bin Laden.
Yep.
He's free.
Yep.
That's what the criminal justice system is going to be worse, because he had a military trial. So you have to worry about the people who haven't committed these overt violent acts like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, but who are nevertheless dedicated jihadis, and they will go back to the fight as soon as we let them go.
Absolutely, as so many have done and have been either recaptured or have committed acts of terrorism and been blown up while doing it. Deborah, always a pleasure. I admire you so much, you know that, and you know, we'll speak again, and I look forward to that next time.
Thanks, Steve. It's always great to talk to you.
Take care. Deborah Burlingame, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the Steve Malzberg Show. All right, anybody want to weigh in on Barack Obama's draft document issued today? These trials will now be suspended for 120 days. The military tribunals, while the Defense Department reviews whether the Pentagon should continue to prosecute enemy combatants. And the plan to close Gitmo within a year. You want these terrorists brought to your neighborhood? I mean, I just think that it's going to be such a mark for trying to get these terrorists, you know, broken out of prison. There'll be hostage situations, God forbid, the threat of terrorist attacks, unless you let these guys out of prison. Why would Barack Obama want to put us in that kind of position, or even bring about the remotest, you know, lightest possibility of putting us in that position? I just don't see it. To show the rest of the world that we're good? I don't want to put us in danger to show the rest of the world that we're good. I know we're good. All right, folks, 1-800-321-8828 on the Steve Malzberg Show.